Celebrating God incarnate characterizes our Christmas season. Matthew's gospel clearly displays Christ as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Emmanuel, God with us, King of the Jews, worshipped by wise men. Luke emphasizes Jesus coming to ordinary people, with shepherds receiving the proclamation of a splendid event that would bring peace. John describes the Word who was with God and was God, the Word who made all things. This Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Our Savior and King took on our likeness and chose to live among us, among the ignoble of society, without repute, exaltation, or dignity. Rather than talking about the virgin birth, I would like to explore Christ's time dwelling among us, concentrating on a single event in John 11. Within this narrative, I would like you to encounter the love and compassion revealed as God incarnate entered into genuine relationships with real people experiencing hurt and hardship. The story of Lazarus' resurrection opens with a messenger approaching Jesus to share of Lazarus' illness. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." This message reveals connection between the family and Jesus using sentimental language. Phileo means to show warm affection in intimate friendship characterized by tender, heartfelt consideration. The brevity of the message infers that Mary and Martha didn't deem details necessary. The sisters, in the midst of their angst, assumed the response. Jesus would return to Bethany to care for Lazarus. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Most likely, Jesus would have uttered these words in front of a messenger, and that same messenger would have taken the words back to the sisters. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Interestingly, this verse serves as the introduction to the news that Lazarus is dead. Agapeo, the word for love in this verse, conveys to love, to wish well, to take pleasure in. It denotes the love of reason and esteem. This agapeo love differs from phileo used in verse 3, but the use of agapeo does not nullify the affection of intimate friendship. Rather, Bruce Winston instigates that agapeo reflects a sense of doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason. Or, in other words, loving someone like a friend. This passage continues. "So then he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.'" Jesus does not express sorrow as would be expected in this situation. Rather, he conveys gladness or rejoices for the sake of his disciples. The Greek is tied to gladness for grace. Clearly, Christ is conscious of the belief, or the pisteuo, the believing that leads to or proceeds from God's inbirthing of faith that will follow a display of power over death. The opportunity to increase the faith of his disciples is grounds for joy. So Jesus sets out for Bethany. And when Martha hears that Jesus is coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. In true Martha fashion, she runs out to meet Jesus. With full knowledge that Jesus heals the sick, Mary must have trusted the messenger that Jesus would prevent Lazarus' death. We cannot fully appreciate Martha's initial words to Christ without recognizing that Martha left her home, in which her sister and others were grieving, even wailing. Martha's exclamation was likely laced with the grief of a real person experiencing hurt and hardship. Martha issued a plea to Jesus to alleviate her grief. Your brother will rise again, Martha answered. I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus redirects Martha, perhaps even nudging her towards an expression of faith. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Again, Jesus pivots Martha in this moment to see that he himself embodies life and that the believer will never die. God incarnate stands before Martha as hope for a real person experiencing hurt and hardship. Jesus' question also contains pistuo, the believing that leads to or proceeds from God's inbirthing of faith. We recognize again his desire to solidify Martha's faith. When Mary arrives, she falls at Jesus' feet with the same exclamation, Lazarus would not have died if you were here. With Mary came others who had been weeping alongside Mary, expressing uncontainable, audible grief. Here we see another real person experiencing hurt and hardship. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Jesus literally groaned. It's the same Greek word that can be used for a snorting horse. And he was troubled, which reveals that Jesus was stirred up inside, affected by great pain or sorrow, so as to have an outward or bodily expression. C.J. Ellicott explains that this phrase expresses disturbance of mind, vehement agitation, answering to the intensity of the emotion. The expression was physical. It was not silent, nor was it subtle. Witnessing the grief of Mary over Lazarus' death, a man whom Jesus was described as having a warm affection and intimate friendship, the incarnate God responds with indignation. According to XL and Spence Jones, Jesus entered with vivid and intense human sympathy into all the primary and secondary sorrows of death. He saw the long procession of mourners from the first to the last, all the reckless agony, all the hopelessness of it. There flashed upon his spirit all the terrible moral consequences of which death was the ghastly symbol. Jesus eventually asks to be taken to the tomb, where he weeps. Unlike the intense expression upon seeing Mary and others mourn, Jesus shed silent tears. The silence of these tears not only contrasts with the snorting or the physical reaction from before, but also contrasts with the prayer that Jesus will offer when the stone is rolled away. Then Jesus looked up and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus' prayer to the Father reminds us of the unity between the Father and the Son. But spoken words in that moment were for the sake of the hearers. Jesus repeats again the word pistuo, believing that leads to or proceeds from God's inbirthing of faith, as he has done with his disciples in verse 14 and Martha in verse 40. Now here again we see it in verse 42. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Again, XL and Spence Jones proposed that even knowing this event would be a foretaste of his own death, Jesus took the death agony of Lazarus and the humiliation of the grave and the tears of the sisters upon himself when he resolved to cry, "Lazarus, come forth," and to snatch from the grasp of the grim conqueror for a little while one of its victims. Lazarus' resurrection illustrates the nature of the relationship between God the Father and the Son. The glorification of the Father, Christ's shared purpose with the Father, a foreshadowing of Jesus' own glorification, and the emergence of faith. Yet the narrative also highlights the compassion and patience of Jesus towards real people experiencing a hurt and a hardship. The incarnate God saw our frailty, the limitations of our faith, the impact of suffering, and he leaned in towards us to extend his grace. The love of Christ was not distant, nor was it aloof. Despite the disciples' obtuseness, the incarnate God entered into genuine relationship to strengthen their faith. Despite Martha's misunderstanding of the true nature of Jesus as Messiah, the incarnate God entered into genuine relationship to reveal the hope of the resurrection and the life. Despite the murderous intentions of some of the Jews among the mourners, the incarnate God dwelt among them to reveal the nature and the will of God. We not only celebrate the wonder of Christ's birth and the miracles that would follow, but in awe, we also revel in the heart of the Father displayed by the incarnate God full of tender compassion expressed in relationships, indignation towards death and the impact of the fall, and love determined to strengthen our faith. Indeed, it was for our sake that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, so that we could see the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.